Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome once again to the Steve Jones Show. Thursday edition sponsored by REW, Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Find them online, REWfinancial.com. Steve Jones in the Sunbury Motors studio with a very busy Sunbury Motors studio today.
Yeah, we're busy. Yeah. Very busy. So, looking forward to it very much. I ran by your theories on the Phillies.
Oh, brother.
To Mitch Williams.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
He doesn't know what direction they're going in either.
No, he thinks you're kind of warped. No. Just kidding.
Listen, I'll tell you what. Even when he was on Comcast, he was as much critical about the Phillies as anybody. And that's what I liked about him on Comcast.
Yeah. Well, we're going to hear from Mitch today. Looking forward to it very much. Hear from him. Actually, sent me Tim Frazier today. Talking to him. And as always, your perspective is always entertaining.
Let's just call it unique.
Mm-hmm. Look.
By the way, big win last night?
Yeah, a very big win last night.
Did they carry you off on their shoulders?
No. We're up in the... Actually, we're not even courtside. A lot of people complain to me about the officiating. And I said, couldn't really tell from our angle on a lot of things. It was a highly controversial call where they said the ball went off Aaron Kraft out of bounds, and then they checked it on the replay, and they said that they changed the call and said it went off Frazier. Now, Jeff Tarman had his phone. His phone blew up. The number of people, they're like, no way, no way, no way, no way. They all looked at the replay, too. I can't tell you whether it did or it didn't, because, and Dick thought it live, it went off Aaron Kraft.
Well, did you have a replay where you were in Ohio State yesterday?
Because
I know some games when they're on television, you're able to have a monitor there, or they supply with a monitor. That's really nice to be able to have that, and then you could look at the replays and stuff. Did you have that capability last night?
No, we don't have a monitor. We didn't have a monitor last night. No, so we couldn't see.
I mean, that's always nice when you have a TV game and they say, hey, here's a little monitor, you know, for the home radio. Well, you guys were on the road this time, so you weren't the home radio crew, but that's usually a benefit to the home radio crew.
To be frank with you, and we've talked about this, you know, Penn State does not provide a stat monitor provide a home monitor in Beaver Stadium. I mean, and we don't have one ourselves. The monitor we have is because Jack has a TV.
So. See, I thought you got that from the network carrying the game. Because I've heard you refer to that once or twice, the monitor.
Well, the monitor is Jack's, and it's hooked in, and we just get the TV feed.
That's insight you would never get anywhere else. than on this program.
I mean, that's usually what we do get. That's what you usually get, is the actual feed that you're watching. So, yeah, there's a number of times where Jack looks to break down the play, and he'll look at the monitor, and it's actually as you're watching it at home. They're that far behind us.
I have to ask you this question, though.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Ohio State at 16-5,
mm-hmm.
and they're sub 500 in the Big Ten, aren't they? What are they?
Right.
3-6.
3-5.
3-5 now.
But this is what I've talked about all season. There may be a conference that produces the national champion. That's not the Big Ten. Could be Duke, could be Syracuse, could be Wichita State, could be Kansas. But the difference this year between the Big Ten and the other conferences is the top-to-bottom depth of the conference, where any team in the Big Ten can beat another big team on any given night. Northwestern can beat Wisconsin. Penn State can beat Ohio State. And you can get that on any given night. And in other conferences, you don't have that.
So that's why Ohio State is still was ranked 25 coming into this, even though their conference record was still sub 500. There was a little bit of respect for the conference.
Yeah, there's a respect for the conference, but I paid no attention to basketball rankings at all. Basketball rankings to me have absolutely no relevance whatsoever. The relevance is in the BPI. The relevance is in the RPI. The relevance is not in the coaches' poll. You have a tournament. What does it matter? And they don't do the... Now, it matters publicity-wise to build up a game. Today, two of the top five teams in the country go head-to-head, blah, 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 blah. Today, it's Michigan State against Michigan, two of the top 10 teams in the country. You know, Penn State playing 23rd-ranked Ohio State. The number adds something to the publicity of the game. So that part I understand. In terms of what it in reality means to the game, it means nothing. You have a tournament. Yeah, the keys to win your conference tournament championship, get an automatic bid, and then how many at-large teams can you get in of the 37? And then you play it off and see what you have. In college football, the rankings mean everything. Rankings mean everything when it comes to that, you know, and where you start, you know, and the uphill fight that you have means something. If you're ranked in the top four to start the season and you keep winning, you're going to stay in the top four in all likelihood. If you start the season unranked and keep winning, then suddenly by week four, you're in the top 25. Then if you keep winning, then by week eight, you're in the top 15. And by week 12, maybe you probably cracked the top 10, but you're probably not the four. You need not people in front of you to lose. So where you're ranked in college football has tremendous relevance. Where you're ranked in college basketball has no relevance at all except for the publicity of the game.
Ohio State right now, ninth in the Big Ten, 16-5 overall, 3-5 in the conference.
Right.
My question to you, and not knowing their schedule off the top of my head, and knowing you just prepped for it, did Ohio State play a lot of, let's just call them, beneficial basketball games early in the season?
Well, it was an easier non-conference schedule. We talked about that in the pregame last night.
I'm being nice.
It was an easier non-conference schedule than the road they've had. And the dynamics of that team have really changed. The dynamics of the team have changed to the point where they've gone every year since 1999 of having a guy drafted. Well, this is the first year since then that they're not going to have anybody drafted. Which means if you're not going to have anybody drafted, it puts a lot more pressure on the guys there that there's not a true go-to guy. So LaQuinton Ross and Lenzel Smith Jr. and Aaron Kraft, have to really up their games to make up for the fact that they don't have that person anymore to go to turn to. They don't have that person. And that changes the dynamics. Take a guy like Aaron Kraft. Aaron Kraft is a marvelous defensive basketball player. Aaron Kraft does not do anything offensively that's out of his realm. Now, those are all the pros. I mean, there are really very few defensive guards in the country better than he is, and he's a guy that doesn't turn the ball over. That's why he has the incredible statistical anomaly of having more steals in his career than turnovers. That's mind-blowing for a guy that handles the ball so much. But now let's get to his shortcomings. I've watched Aaron Kraft play in person now, I don't know, 10 to 15 times in his career. He's no better offensively now than his freshman year. And Ohio State, in this particular year, his senior year, needed him to be a better offensive player. They needed him to be a 12 to 13 point scorer this year instead of being the 8 to 9 point scorer that he is. They needed that to be a better team. That's not his game. That's not who he is. We've had Dan Dockage on the show before. Dan Dockage says, look, I pick him over anybody else in the country. Well, as a leader and as a defensive player and as a guy that doesn't make a lot of mistakes at point guard, everybody would love to have him. Is he the guy I'd want to pick first? No. I would take Doug McDermott in a heartbeat before I'd really pick anybody right now in college basketball. Doug McDermott is a great shooter, has excellent size, is a good rebounder, is really an excellent passer, and doesn't force anything in the game. He'll be the Wooden Award winner this year. And there's a list of other guys I'd rather have, too, including several of the freshmen. I'd love to have Jabari Parker. I'd love to have Julius Randle. Kraft is a great defender and doesn't overextend himself offensively into mistakes. But he's not a better offensive player or scorer now than he was as a freshman. And when you look at Ohio State, they needed him to be.
And by the way, to be fair, Wisconsin's kind of that same situation right now with their record. I mean, 17-4 overall, 4-4 in the Big Ten. And it just shows that there are obviously two cream-of-the-crop Big Ten teams, and then everybody else is beating each other up in the league.
Well, even then, I'm telling you right now, neither Michigan nor Michigan State are going to go through this thing unscathed. How about that?
No, I think that's a fair assessment, and I would tend to agree with that. I mean, right now, Michigan's the only one in the conference without a loss, and I'll tell you what, the way this conference is, it could happen at any time.
Well, I think that, you know, I think in the end they're going to have three losses, the winner of the league.
Wow.
That balanced. Mitch Williams next. Today brought to you by Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. As we work our way forward, Kevin Herr is going to prove to us that he is a normal sports fan.
Well, I did that this morning on the Mark. I watched the fifth most watched sporting event in the world, and that's the Grand Prix of Monaco. So I'm not as unusual as you like to make me, you know, seen. Just maybe I'm living in the wrong country. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know.
All right. Let me get to, before we get to Mitch Williams here.
I knew you wouldn't let that one go.
A teaching moment that I teach my class within the first 2 weeks. And the first thing they have to do in class is they have to do a 2-minute sportscast. And I said, whether it's TV or radio, one of the more important things that you'll do in your career is that you have to learn the area that you're in, and you have to check your interests in at the door. If they match up, great. But if they don't, you can't go that direction as much as you love it. You may be a huge ice hockey fan, but if you happen to be working in the Albuquerque, New Mexico audience, guess what you won't be talking about?
They don't even have ice.
So what you would be, well, in the mountains they do. New Mexico is a very, has a lot of snow because of the mountains. Especially up in the Santa Fe area, which looks very... Santa Fe and Albuquerque are like two different worlds. Santa Fe looks like it's Aspen. Albuquerque looks like it's in, plopped in the middle of a desert surrounded by mountains. But I said, you're not going to talk about it. You may be the biggest Flyers fan, Penguins fan, whatever, but you're, if you're going to work in Albuquerque, you're not going to talk about it. Okay? Only if there's the Stanley Cup Final. I said, then at that point, you should. That's a, it's a major event. You're going to talk about the University of New Mexico. You're going to talk about the Isotopes baseball team. You're going to talk about high school sports, things like that. I said, you're going to have to get to know the area. I said, for example, I said, I know NASCAR. You know, I know who the drivers are and things like that, and I know where the races are and things like that. And every time I've done a sportscast on a Monday morning, I've always made sure I mentioned the NASCAR event. I said, is it my bag? No, it's not my bag, but I know about it. I also know it's what the listeners want. I said, these are about what the listeners, not what you want. We now bring you in as case in point.
Listen, I have not discussed cricket at all.
You don't like cricket.
I don't know. I've never watched cricket, but Buhner wants me to. Third most watched sport, by the way, in the world, I might add.
Fine, but this is America, dude. Okay, they don't care about the Grand Prix of Monaco. They don't care about cricket. Okay, and the Olympics or something.
It's a novelty thing. It's not a passion.
It's a passion with you.
Yes. No. That's what I'm saying. The Olympics for most people are a novelty, not a passion.
Now, baseball's a passion around here.
Absolutely.
And Mitch Williams, of course, he's going to join us. He'll be at the First Pitch Dinner along with Tom Verducci of Sports Illustrated, which will be at the Penn Stater Saturday evening. He'll be talking there, and we bring him in. And, Mitch, welcome. It is great to have you with us on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here, guys.
All right. So tell me about the transition from ball field to being interviewed to now being media guy. What has that been like for you? What's been the biggest adjustment to it?
Putting a suit on.
I knew that was the issue. I could tell right away. Putting the suit on would be the, you know, and I mean, they have to do that so often. That has to be obviously bothersome.
Yeah, and it's, anybody that knows me knows that's definitely not me. But it's kind of like putting earrings on a pig. It's still a pig.
And not only that, but you know, give me an idea, on, especially in MLB Network. You know, that's one thing about you. You've always been great at just being yourself. So, do they really allow you to be yourself?
Yeah, that's what they want. I don't know how to do anything else. I can't be anybody else. And I when I go on there, I've studied what I need to study. When it comes to baseball, I have a photographic memory. So, I don't go on there with notes. Everything I say and do is just off the top of my head.
You've worked games, and then you worked the studio. Preference?
No, not really. I like doing both. It doesn't really make a difference to me. I enjoy going to the ballpark. But I love what I'm doing right now. So it doesn't really matter to me. It is nice to get out of the studio and get out to the ballpark, though.
And no question about that. Would you stand there and you analyze, whether it's in the studio or the park, do you often put yourself in their shoes, or do you just react to what you see?
Well, that was the one thing when I got into this. The one thing I promised myself is I would never forget how hard the game is. So if you point out a mistake, you have to remember every mistake you're pointing out, you've made 100 times yourself. So that's how I viewed it, and I just never wanted to personally attack somebody. The only time I'll get on somebody is if I think they're not hustling, or they don't bust it on a play or something like that. But never an error or anything like that. I mean, you can't get on pitchers. You can question maybe their thought process, but you can't question a mistake. A mistake's a mistake. So you have to just understand that the game is hard. If it was easy, everybody would play it.
I say, was there any point, you know, everybody goes through their career. You worked hard, I said, all the time in your career. You could tell you're one of those guys that appreciated every moment there. Was there any moment even along the way where you said to yourself, okay, come on, you know what, never be complacent, keep ratcheting it up? Did you ever have to tell yourself that, ever?
No. Every day I went on the field, I gave everything I had that night. That was, I've been asked lots of times, what's the one thing if people were to remember you by, what would it be? And I said that they got every ounce I had every night I went to the mound.
Obviously, you experienced, everyone knows what the lowest of the lows are. But also, you had the experience of the highest of the highs. You were on the mound. You're the one that got the strikeout to end the NLCS that year as well. Talk about the tests of character as to how to handle highs and lows as you go through a high-profile career like that.
Well, you got to have a short memory. Yesterday means nothing. Good, bad, or indifferent, it doesn't mean anything. You can't get it back. You can't change what happened, so you look forward to the next day. And that's how I dealt with my entire career. That's why I love relieving. I signed as a starter, which 90% of pitchers do, and I proved I could go two innings, the first two or the last two. If I had 4 days in between starts, after a bad start, that just gave me 4 days to think about how I could screw up the next one. So I loved relieving, because I came to the ballpark and I had an everyday player mentality. I didn't have that pitcher mentality.
Obviously, players that will come through here, you're going to be talking obviously to the college players, the Penn State players, on Saturday night. But this is also a minor league baseball town now. It has the State College Spikes, who are the St. Louis Cardinals affiliate. What do you recall about your minor league days, and how did they form you as a player, pitcher, and attitude-wise?
Well, number one, back when I was in the minor leagues, we didn't make any money. We couldn't afford to pay attention. So it wasn't a deal where they're handing out $7, $8, $10, $15 million signing bonuses to kids out of college that had never swung a bat, never swung a wooden bat, never thrown a pitch. And for us, we had to, literally, I made $600 a month. And after taxes, you ain't got a lot of money left over.
Nope.
So, and you got $5 a day meal money when you're on the road. So here, eat up on $5 a day. So it was a driving force, obviously. I made more money in the off season as a valet parker. So it was tough.
Right.
But if you have that dream and that's what you want to do, you have to understand that that's what you have to go through.
You'll be at the first pitch dinner at the Penn State on Saturday night talking to the Penn State baseball team. How did this come about?
I was just contacted by a guy that I work with, and they asked me if I'd speak at it, and I said, yeah, I'd be glad to.
What's your basic message going to be?
If this is what you want to do for a living, work your butt off at it. If you're at Penn State to get an education and you're playing baseball, work your butt off in the classroom. Basically, that college, it's all dependent on what you're going to college for. And that's the reason I didn't go to college. I knew I wanted to play baseball for a living, so I signed out of high school. Well, these guys in college, if that's their dream, is to play baseball, they got 3 years there at Penn State to go out and open the world's eyes to what they're capable of doing, and set goals and go out and do what you can to achieve them.
Work ethic is extremely important to you, as anyone can tell. You worked hard as a major league pitcher. Give me an idea of the kind of work that you need to put in now on an everyday basis to make sure that you are considered to be a top analyst.
Well, there's a lot of reading. you don't want to be caught off guard. And like I said, there's a lot of people that look at numbers and stats or stories, and they have to take notes on it. For me, I've just never been that way when it comes to baseball. I can remember it. So if you have to do your homework and know what has gone on in the game that day. And the easiest part about being an analyst is working late, and we have live look-ins and everything at MLB Network. That's just reacting to what's in front of you. So that part of it's simple.
What part was the learning curve part? Because obviously as a pitcher, as you mentioned, you signed out of high school. That has been your life. That's what you've worked. What was the learning curve part in terms of the television part?
I think the toughest part was learning all the acronyms in TV. I didn't know what any of that stuff was. There's a lot of it I don't know today. Like SOT, FOL, and VO, and I was like, I have no idea what any of that means. It didn't have to do with baseball. I pretty much didn't know it. All I knew was how to talk and talk intelligently about the game. So that was the thing, and learning to deal with somebody in your ear.
Right.
If somebody's in your ear and you're carrying on a conversation and you have ADD like I do, I've literally talked back to them on live TV. And just felt like an idiot, but I think that was probably the toughest thing.
Yeah, and that's what everybody says. That's the toughest part, trying to concentrate on what you're doing while somebody is saying, now remember, don't forget, look at camera three. We're going to be going to voiceover coming up, which that's the VO acronym.
Right.
And blah, 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 blah. Or we're going to go to SOT, which is sound on tape, blah, 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 blah. And
right.
And getting used to that, because you're trying to concentrate on what you're doing, and concentration for you has always been something you've had to work at.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no question. I don't like the host, those guys have constantly got guys in their ears while they're talking. To me, it'd drive me nuts, because I don't have anybody in my ear on a regular basis. But being a host with all the traffic and where the show's going, those are the guys that do the hard stuff.
Yeah. The Alex Rodriguez thing, a lot of people will ask you about that. Did you find the union's response to the Rodriguez suspension interesting?
I think the union knew it was coming. The players' union is there for the players. A-Rod has been allowed to make $275 million or $300 million in this game because of the players' union and the guys who came before him. So everything that's gone on after that, I don't know all the facts and details and evidence and all that, but to sue the union that represents you is kind of a slap on the face.
Well, you know, you were able to obviously pitch. You were like in the border of what people would say would be the beginning of the quote steroid era. Did you notice anything along the way? Did you see bats that seemed quicker to you, or did you attribute it to the fact that you were later in your career? Was it something you even suspected?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we knew it back then. It wasn't something that was openly talked about. But when you play against a guy in rookie ball and he weighs 175 pounds and comes back 2 years later and weighs 265, I ain't a rocket scientist, but I can put two and two together.
Yeah. Suddenly out of nowhere, you know, I mean, look at him. He can throw a Volkswagen over a hedge. I think there could be something going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Getting out of the game, once you got out of the game, how long did it take for you to find a groove doing something else where you felt good, felt comfortable? You made some money. Some people, I'm sure, came to you and said, hey, I have an idea. When did you feel a groove in terms of your post-career?
When my wife got tired of having me at home. Which is pretty simple. It took about 4 years. And she said, you need to get a job.
I got to give you credit. It took her only 4 years. That's pretty,
yeah.
A lot of the rest of us would be like every 4 months.
Yeah.
You must have been doing something right, man. It took 4 years. That's good.
We had a lot of good time. We had a bunch of children, so it was fun. And now we're watching them grow up, so it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. The MLB Network thing, how cool is it for you to stay really within the confines of the game that you grew up in? And where did that love of the game start for you?
When I was a kid. I mean, 5 years old, I was playing.
Who was the influence on you growing up? In terms of, like, you may love the game, but somebody has to, they have to take you to the games, things like that. Who did that for you? Was it parents?
No, I never went to baseball games. The games I went to, I played in.
Right.
So, I played whatever was in season when I was a kid. That's just how I was.
I was the same way.
If there was a basketball game on, I'd watch half of it, and then the second half, we'd be outside playing. And that's what I try and get across now when I talk to kids. Put the Xbox down, the Xbox baseball, and go outside and play the game. I think that's what's missing from today's youth a lot, is the fact that they don't have sandlot games and stuff like that. And that's all we did, whether it was football, baseball, whatever.
That's exactly the same life I lived. Exactly. We were always out doing something. In the late summer into the fall, we'd be playing football. Spring into summer, play baseball. Basketball on a dirt court. We'd even try and get on a pond and play hockey. Poorly, but we'd try. But that's what we did. What about the fantasy element? A lot of people throw themselves into fantasy baseball. How do you view that?
Well, I think it's great. I think it's great that people are following the game as closely as they are. I'm not a guy that believes a ton in sabermetrics because I think there's a whole lot more to a player than just the numbers on a page.
Right.
But they definitely have a spot, and there's so many players. It's a great game. It's made the game more popular. It's helped the game grow. So I'm looking forward to coming up there to Penn State. I'm going to make sure I bring a highlight reel of my high school daughter in their basketball so the coach up there can see her.
Yeah, that'd be great. Coach would love to see it. So if you could drop that off, hey, why not?
Not a problem.
Hey, why not? Hey, it was a thrill having you on the show. I look forward to being with you at the event on Saturday night, and tremendous. I think it's going to be a great, entertaining evening, and we'll make sure that they get that DVD.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. Mitch Williams, former Phillies pitcher. The list of questions that you submitted.
You did get one in. You know, how does he like wearing a suit?
Notice I got that in early and got it out of the way fast.
You did.
All right, we'll come back with more. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484, or you can go online to rewfinancial.com. Here on News Radio 1070, WKOK.
Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyMotors.com.
REW Financial believes in the value of total commitment. We are a working family who strives to prove strength of character by staying independent and core focused. REW has a commitment to the community and the financial needs of our clients. Let us design your portfolio or retirement strategy. REW Financial Lewisburg, the power of freedom. Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners Financial Services.
Yeah, Martin Sheen, exactly who he was supposed to be portraying.
I thought so the moment I saw it.
No, I mean, that's who he was supposed to be portraying. Now, Mitch didn't pitch in the California Penal League. Okay, let's get something straight. But it's going to be Mitch Williams, Tom Verducci from Sports Illustrated, Penn State grad, also at this dinner on Saturday night at the Penn Stater. They'll get some idiot to emcee it. Let's see. Corey Geiger, Tim Frazier next half hour. Next week, we are zeroing in on getting James Franklin back on the show, if you don't mind.
Okay. By the way, the word just comes out from CBS Sports Radio, Michael Vick, intent on testing the free agent market. Raise your hand if you're surprised. I didn't see any hands go up.
I have two words to describe Michael Vick's current career as a quarterback.
Good and luck?
Backup quarterback.
Backup, all right.
Any team can use a quality backup quarterback. You can question the kind of quality quarterback he is. I think he's always been, his athleticism is exceptional and off the charts. In terms of the ability to play the quarterback position as a quarterback, that's always been a hit or miss thing with him. So, but wants to testify, because Nick Foles is flat out beating him. And
yeah, it's game over.
Foles in the Pro Bowl, and it's done. All right, so I don't blame Michael Vick for wanting to seek out something else. Next half hour, Tim Frazier, Corey Geiger. And then we'll blow up the Kevin Herr argument that he is actually in step with the sports world.
I never claimed to be. Never claimed to be.
You were on the mark this morning telling everybody that you watch events that people around the world watch.
Oh, you mean worldwide I'm in step? Yes. In this country, not all the time.
I mean, you might be in step with the interests of people in Antarctica, so maybe that is your continent.
I don't know. The number one most watched television sports broadcast has something where a guy just goes, golf, for about 20 minutes.
That's because it only happens once or twice a day.
I was going to say, and they get excited about a 1-0 game. Right.
Because that's the moment.